She designed her bedroom after her favorite Chanel couture gown. It's fabulous. A smile tugged at Blake's lips. I'll take your word for it. So you see, it's important for me to have peace and quiet. I need to work on my portfolio, Farah said pointedly. Okay, okay. Farah reopened her magazine, and they fell into silence. A minute later, Blake's stomach growled. She glared at him. What? I can't control the noises my stomach makes. Blake forgot he'd skipped dinner. No wonder his body was rebelling. He grabbed his laptop from the other table. What do you want to eat?
I'm not the one who's hungry.
Come on, you need fuel for your imagination. You said food can inspire design. Farah exhaled sharply.
I'm not going to get any work done tonight, am I?
Dimples creased his cheeks. There's Thai, Indian. Oh shit, McDonald's has 24-hour delivery here.
We did not come all the way to Shanghai to eat McDonald's.
After some bickering, they settled on Malaysian. 45 minutes later, the delivery guy arrived with 2 bags of steaming hot takeout. Blake met him downstairs and brought the food up to the library where he and Farah wasted no time digging into the feast. Beef rendang for him, Hainanese chicken for her, plus chicken satay, roti canai, and sambal fried okra to share. Oh, and mango sticky rice for dessert, because it ain't a full meal without dessert. Where are your girls? Blake lifted a forkful of beef to his mouth. The rich flavors of lemongrass, ginger, cinnamon, and other spices he couldn't name exploded on his tongue. Damn. Rendang looked like shit, literally, but it tasted like heaven. Blake liked simple foods. Tacos, pizza, and burgers were enough to satisfy him. But after 2 weeks in China, he was developing an appreciation for international cuisines. He drew the line at chicken feet, fish eyes, and yak penis, though. There were some animal parts humans shouldn't eat. Period.
Out.
Farah ripped off a piece of roti canai and dipped the flatbread in curry sauce. Why aren't you with them? I thought the four of you were joined at the hips. Blake didn't understand why girls traveled in packs like wolves, even to the bathroom, especially to the bathroom. What did they do in there, throw a party?
My throat hurts, so I sat out tonight. Better safe than sorry.
If you said something earlier, we could have ordered some chicken noodle soup. A small smile touched Farah's lips.
I'm good, thanks.
Their gazes lingered on each other. Farah's eyes resembled pools of melted chocolate. Beautiful, delicious melted chocolate. Blake's heart did a weird skip. Farah looked away.
What about you? Why are you holed up in the library on a Friday night?
He didn't bother lying.
Homework. That's it?
That's it.
I did not figure you for the studious type.
Her tone rankled him. Blake was used to people thinking he was a stupid jock. He usually shrugged it off. Who was the one with the 3.8 GPA, bitches? But Farah's assumption stung.
Why not?
Farah appeared to be taken aback by his cool tone.
I don't know. I guess it's because you're a football player, and the athletes at my school aren't exactly familiar with the library.
I'm not an athlete at your school, and I don't play football anymore.
You're right. I'm sorry. She bit her lip. I shouldn't have assumed.
Blake's ire melted at the chastised look on her face.
It's fine. I'm used to it.
He shoved another forkful of beef into his mouth. He chewed and swallowed before adding, I wasn't getting much done anyway. Foreign languages are not my strong suit.
What do you have problems with? Grammar? Pronunciation?
Everything.
But mostly the characters. I can't get them right.
How the hell was he supposed to learn a language with no Roman alphabet? There were thousands of Chinese characters and they all looked the same.
They're hard, Farah acknowledged. I have problems with them myself. But mnemonics can help. Here, give me your textbook. Did you learn radicals yet?
Yeah.
Depending on how you defined learn. Classes started so early, Blake found it hard to stay awake.
If you memorize them, they can be really helpful. Take how, for example. You see how it sort of looks like a mouth? It's part of most characters whose meanings have to do with the mouth. Like jiao, to call, or chi, to eat.
Farah wrote the words out. She went through a few other examples before moving on to the next radical. Blake followed along, trying his best not to stare at her mouth. Farah's lips looked like they were made for. "Don't go there, buddy. She's a virgin. She's probably never even given a blowjob before." He refocused on the lesson at hand. To his surprise, the characters made more sense. Not a lot, but more. It was a start. Every once in a while, Blake broke up the monotony with random stories from his childhood and questions about Farah's life back home. He told her about the time he donned a bear mask and scared the hell out of Joy during a family camping trip at Big Bend, and how Joy tricked him with fake adoption papers as retaliation. That was messed up. To this day, a tiny part of Blake wondered if he was adopted. Farah told him about borrowing her mother's lipsticks and using them as crayons on her family's freshly painted walls. Blake smiled at the mental image, a budding creative at age 6. Farah really did have her life figured out. By the time they finished the first chapter, it was close to 1 a.m. The food was long gone, and Blake's eyes were bleary from staring at the text. "We should call it a night," he said. His brain wanted him to stay, but his body screamed for sleep. "Thank you for helping me with this," he gestured at the notes.
"No problem. Consider it my apology for thinking you're, you know,
a dumb jock." Farah blushed.
"Well, yeah. You're different from what I imagined."
"I am awesome," Blake agreed. He scooped the empty food containers into a bag.
"I didn't say that.
You were thinking it." She helped him gather up used utensils and napkins.
"Now the arrogance part. I got right."
"I'm blessed with an abundance of confidence. Besides, I know you think I'm awesome."
"Oh, really? How?"
Blake pointed at the clock. "You spent the whole night with me." Farah's mouth opened and closed like a goldfish's. After Blake stopped laughing and dodged a swat from a red-faced Farah, they disposed of the trash and collected their belongings. He turned off the library lights and followed Farah into the stairwell. He paused on the third-floor landing outside the girls' hall. In the distance, a car door slammed, and laughter filtered through the stairwell below.
"Good night."
Farah's gaze tipped up to his. The moonlight reflected in her eyes, and Blake's heart did that weird skipping thing again. "Good night." She was so close. If he moved forward a few inches, "Nope. Nuh-uh. Don't even think about it, buddy. One kiss is not worth ruining your year over. Even if it'd be a hell of a kiss." Blake cleared his throat and stepped backward, breaking the spell. "I'll see you later."
"Yes."
Farah, too, stepped back, widening the gap between them.
"See you later."
Chapter 5. "This is hell." Chris surveyed the happiest place on Earth the way Anna Wintour would survey an outfit from Walmart. In her $500 jeans and Chanel top, she couldn't have looked more out of place among the hordes of screaming children and frazzled parents. Nearby, a little boy held an ice cream cone in one hand and picked his nose with the other, while his parents tried to calm his sister, who cried so hard her face turned scarlet. Chris shuddered and slipped on her sunglasses like they could protect her from reality.
"Cheer up, Chris. We're at Disneyland," Courtney sang. "The most magical place in the world."
"Magical my ass. The only magical thing about this place is how many terrible outfits they've crammed into one park. It's like an outdoor convention for the poorly dressed."
Farah turned her head so Chris couldn't see her laugh. Chris was one of her closest friends in FEA, but she lived in her own little world sometimes. Farah's gaze landed on Blake, who chatted with Luke and Sammy off to the side. Blake was friends with Luke, who was friends with Courtney, which meant Blake was a de facto member of their group. Farah was still trying to figure him out. Sometimes she glimpsed something deeper beneath his cocky playboy persona, a vulnerability that flickered over his face when he thought no one was looking. Then, with a wink of an eye and a smile, it was gone. Blake's gaze met hers.
"What's so funny?"
"Nothing.
Farah's residual smile faded when Blake walked over and slung an arm over her shoulders. The gesture made her heart flutter in a way she did not like. At all. What are you doing?
Keeping you warm. You look cold.
It's 75 degrees. Farah shrugged Blake's arm off her shoulder. To her surprise, goosebumps rippled over her skin. After the warmth of Blake's embrace, the park felt like a tundra. Damn him. She ignored Blake's chuckle and scooted closer to Olivia.
I've mapped out the most efficient route for us. Olivia snapped open a map of the park. We'll start at the farthest section and work our way clockwise back to the entrance. First, we'll go to Fantasyland, then Treasure Cove and Adventure Isle. We'll cut through the Gardens of Imagination and make our way to Pixar Toy Story Land and Tomorrowland on the other side.
Luke grimaced. You scare me. I think it's nice to have someone organize plan things for us, Sammy said.
He and Olivia locked eyes. Olivia blushed and busied herself refolding the map. Farah and Courtney nudged each other at the same time. Olivia could deny it all she wanted, but the attraction between her and Sammy was mutual, and everyone knew it. They already had bets on when the two would get together. Farah gave them another week, tops.
As the group battled their way through the crowd toward Fantasyland, Nardo looked almost as displeased as Chris.
We could have gone somewhere more authentic for the Mid-Autumn Festival, he grumbled. This place is so westernized.
It's Disney. It is Western. And according to the internet, it's one of the best places to celebrate the festival.
Courtney leveled Nardo with a stern look.
That'll be the last complaint for today. If anyone wants to be a Debbie Downer, do it on your own time.
The internet is stupid,
Nardo mumbled. Courtney narrowed her eyes.
What was that?
Nothing.
Olivia may have mapped out the best route, but sadly, her efficiency didn't extend to the lines, which snaked in front of every ride and restroom like never-ending spokes of misery. By lunchtime, Farah's feet were numb from standing. Thank God, she said, as they entered the restaurant Olivia had chosen for lunch. It resembled the set of one of those Chinese palace dramas Farah's mom loved watching. Each dining room featured a different theme. The one they ended up in had glowing fish suspended from the ceiling, alongside traditional red paper lanterns. Farah couldn't figure out the theme. Under the East China Sea? Chinese Little Mermaid? The fish were a little tacky, but hey, this was Disney. They could do whatever the hell they wanted.
Since it was a quick-service restaurant, Farah volunteered to look after the bags while her friends ordered at the counter. It gave her more time to sit. To Farah's chagrin, Blake also stayed behind.
Well, well, you and me, alone again. Dimples creased his cheeks. What are the odds?
We literally came here together, Blake.
He pouted.
Your indifference to my charms is starting to bruise my ego. Come on, throw a guy a bone.
Farah's lips twitched. Your ego could use some bruising, and your charms have no effect on me, sorry. That wasn't totally true, but he didn't need to know that.
Why? Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Are you in love with someone else?
Farah hesitated. Blake's eyes widened.
You are.
I'm not.
Who is it? I won't tell.
She didn't know what it was. The heat? The hunger? The exhaustion? Whatever it was, it caused Farah to lose her usual control over her reactions. Her eyes flicked toward Leo, who was paying for his food while the rest of the group mulled over their choices. Farah caught herself and averted her gaze. Too late. Blake's jaw dropped.
Holy shit. You're in love with Leo.
I'm not in love with him.
Farah fought to keep her expression neutral, even as panic raced through her.
You are.
I'm not.
You are.
Oh, forget it, she fumed. You're insufferable.
Farah had thought he might not be so bad after their conversation in the library last week.
Clearly, that was a mistake brought on by copious amounts of delicious food and a dash of late-night exhaustion. Blake Ryan was the worst.
I saw the way you looked at him just now. Contrary to what some people think.
The way he said some indicated he was talking about Farah.
I'm not stupid. You want to bang him.
She glared at him. Do you have to be so crude?
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not talking about this with you.
You already are.
Blake's dimples flashed again.
I can give you pointers from a guy's perspective. People would pay for my advice. That's that good.
No, thanks. Leo is taken, remember? He's with someone named, Courtney?
That is a complication.
It's not a complication, it's a deal breaker.
So you are in love with him.
Farah realized too late Blake was baiting her into a trap. The smugness on his face indicated he knew she knew what he was up to. Fine, she said. I may have a tiny crush on him, but I'm not in love with him, and I'll never do anything about it.
Girl code. I respect that.
Blake nodded. Farah thought that was the end of it, until Blake leaned closer, his eyes swirling with curiosity and something else she couldn't identify.
So, what's the draw? Is it the nice, sensitive guy facade?
It's not a facade. I know it's difficult for you to understand, but nice, sensitive guys exist.
They're one in a billion. Most guys use the whole sensitivity shtick to get into a girl's pants. Trust me, I'm a guy, and I know how the male species operates.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Exactly.
This conversation is over. Farah scrolled through her phone. Not because she was looking for anything, but because she didn't want to talk about Leo anymore. Blake was wrong. He may be a player, but not every guy in the world was like him.
It doesn't matter. Like you said, he's with Courtney. So I guess you're doomed to pine after someone you can't have, unless...
Don't look up. Don't look up. Farah looked up. Damn it. She needed better self-control. Unless what? Blake leaned back and laced his fingers behind his head.
You get the hots for someone else.
He wasn't the first person to suggest that solution. Olivia had been trying to get Farah to hook up with another guy in FEA for weeks. But when Farah had a crush, she had tunnel vision. Most of the time, anyway. She chose not to think about the way her stomach fluttered every time Blake smiled. A real smile, not the smirk he was giving her now. Don't tell me you're offering yourself up for the position.
He looked offended. I'm not. But there's no need to sound so disgusted. I have feelings.
Farah arched a skeptical brow. Blake kept the pretense up for about 10 more seconds before he broke into a wide smile. There it was again. That stupid stomach flutter. She should get that checked out.
Kidding. I don't have feelings.
Farah couldn't help but laugh. Blake's grin widened. He was so cocky, she hadn't thought him capable of self-deprecation. But it was nice to see he didn't take himself too seriously. The group returned with the food. Farah had told Olivia to order for her, and her faith in her friend was well placed. The Shanghainese pork belly rice was fantastic. They also brought a bunch of dishes to share, including crab meat spring rolls, siomai, Chinese dumplings, chicken teriyaki skewers, and a quarter roasted duck. Dessert comprised of an assortment of mooncakes in a nod to the Mid-Autumn Festival. The festival was a time for moon worship in the olden days and family reunions in modern days. But honestly, it was all about the mooncakes. Farah savored the taste of her Disney-themed green tea mooncake. Yum. To Farah's relief, Blake didn't bring up Leo again for the rest of the day. Probably because Olivia and Courtney had them running around like crazy people so they could fit everything in before the park closed. Despite her exhaustion, Farah had a blast. It had been ages since she visited Disneyland. She was a child swept up in the magic again, especially at night when the park lit up like a sea of fallen stars. Even Chris warmed to the experience. By the time she left, she'd spent hundreds of dollars on overpriced souvenirs. Farrah didn't know why Chris bought so much stuff. It wasn't like she'd ever be caught dead wearing Minnie Mouse earrings. Whatever. Farrah was too tired to read much into it. She collapsed into her seat on the metro. They had a long way to go before they reached SFSU, but Farrah didn't mind. It gave her feet more time to recuperate. Today was a good day. Olivia yawned and rested her head on Farrah's shoulder. On Farrah's other side, Courtney and Chris were already fast asleep. Farrah looked across the aisle to where the guys were watching a video on Sammy's phone. Blake was laughing so hard he had tears in his eyes. It was the most genuine smile she'd seen from him yet. Yeah, Farrah rubbed Olivia's arm. Today was a good day.
Chapter 6. Blake rolled out of bed at 8. He couldn't remember the last time he woke up this late, but Disneyland took him out. He forgot how tiring amusement parks were. Fortunately, it didn't take him long to get ready, and he was out the door by 8:15. Blake's stomach rumbled with anticipation. The jianbing from the street vendor behind campus was the highlight of his mornings. He'd passed by the stand multiple times his first 2 weeks here, tempted by the smell but wary of buying street food, before he caved. It was the right decision. Those savory, crisp, fried crepes were some of the best things he'd ever tasted. Blake was so busy fantasizing about the jianbing that he didn't notice the girl walking in front of him until they were in the courtyard. Long, dark hair, slim, curvy figure. Posture Emily Post would be proud of. Well, he'll be damned. Farrah! Farrah stopped. When she turned, she wore an exasperated look on her face.
Hi. You're up early? I could say the same for you.
I usually get up earlier, but we had a late night. Blake smiled, remembering how adorable Farrah looked when she was sleepy. Wait, adorable? Where the hell did that come from? Girls his age weren't adorable, they were beautiful. Relatives, or sexy non-relatives. Adorable did not figure into the equation. Not that Farrah wasn't beautiful or sexy, but... Dude, stop while you're ahead. Blake cleared his throat. The hunger must be getting to him. So, where are you off to? Farrah wore an orange dress that was far too nice for a quick breakfast run. She held a milk tea in one hand and had a sketchbook tucked beneath her other arm.
I'm going to explore a little.
Without your girls?
They're sleeping. Well, Olivia isn't, but she's working on internship applications.
Farrah paused, sipped her drink. Then,
do you want to join me?
Blake nearly fell over at the invitation. He wasn't sure Farrah even liked him, and now she was inviting him to hang out with her. He shouldn't. He was hungry as hell, and he had a date with the gym. He hated going there after 10 a.m. when it filled up with guys who were more interested in gym selfies than working out. Besides, Blake didn't like the way his body reacted around Farrah. It was different than the typical sexual attraction, though that was certainly there, and it freaked him out.
You don't have to, Farrah said. If you have other plans, I'd love to.
I hope I don't regret this. As long as we make a quick detour for breakfast...
Making demands already? She teased. Why am I not surprised?
Blake led the way to the back gate. He'd walked this path so many times he could do it with his eyes closed. Breakfast is a reasonable request, more reasonable than bubble tea at 8:30 in the morning. Farrah clutched her drink to her chest as they approached the jianbing stand.
Don't judge. This doesn't have boba, so it's technically not bubble tea. Even if it is, bubble tea is appropriate at all hours of the day.
Fine. But we're also getting you a proper breakfast. Blake turned to the vendor, whose eyes brightened with recognition.
Lang, geji dan wei la?
Two eggs, mildly spicy. No need to specify the jianbing part in your order, that was a given. He wasn't fluent in Chinese yet, but he was fluent in the language that counts.
food. Blake paid the vendor and handed Farah one of the jianbings. This will change your life. She rolled her eyes.
I'm Chinese. I've had jian...
Oh my God. Told you. They walked to the metro. Is it good or is it good?
It's amazing.
Farah took another bite and hummed in bliss. Blake's body reacted viscerally to the sound. I need to get laid. The last time he had sex was, holy fuck, in July, right before he broke up with Cleo. 2 whole months. It was the longest dry spell since he lost his virginity to the most popular girl in the senior class when he was 15, Shauna Smith. She'd been something. And she earned her title as head cheerleader in more ways than one.
I can't believe I've never had this before.
Farah tossed her empty wrapper and milk tea container in the trash.
I usually go to Cinnamon for breakfast. Chris insists.
This is better than cafe food, and cheaper, too. Blake tapped his Metro card on the reader. Don't say I never bought you anything. Her silvery laugh sent another wave of awareness rippling through his body. Correction, I really need to get laid. So where are we going?
Have you heard of M50?
Sort of. Blake had never heard of M50 in his life.
It's Shanghai's contemporary art district. There's a ton of galleries and design inspo.
Farah waved her sketchbook in the air. For the competition. She looked surprised.
You remember?
Of course. Blake couldn't forget the way Farah's eyes lit up when she talked about the competition. She was studying interior design because she loved it, not because everyone said she should. Her passion was refreshing and depressing. Blake had never felt that way about football or anything else in his life, really. He knew what he didn't want to do. Now he had to figure out what he did want to do. After 10 minutes in M50, Blake scratched artist off his potential careers list. As a neighborhood, M50 was cool. It featured old warehouses and factory buildings turned galleries for every type of art Blake could imagine, and some he couldn't. There were confounding multimedia neon and LED light installations, and a terrifying exhibit of monstrous spider sculptures. There was also a weird-ass garden where everything, trees, grass, flowers, was made of knitted yarn. Blake appreciated the creativity, but he didn't get it. He understood paintings. That was art. Boring art, but art. He did not understand the point of knitting a tree. Seriously, what the fuck? Or why someone would pay thousands of dollars for a twisted piece of metal. Rich people needed to find better ways to spend their money. Farah, on the other hand, was so busy examining the exhibits and scribbling notes, she stopped speaking to him once they started gallery hopping. He didn't mind. Watching her work was way more interesting than any of the exhibits on display. Soon, Blake could identify every micro-expression, the way her brow furrowed when she was thinking hard, the way she tilted her head an inch to the left when she was confused, the way her brows shot up and her mouth parted in excitement when she came across a revelation. He knew it was a revelation because she'd open that notepad of hers and scribble like crazy. Perhaps he should be an anthropologist, though Blake suspected his interests in studying people was limited to Farah. He'd never been this engrossed by anyone else before. By the time they wrapped up their self-guided tour, it was almost 3. Blake's stomach growled with anger. They'd blitzed through the galleries without stopping for food. Blake and Farah settled for the first cafe they could find. The airy industrial space doubled as a gallery and studio, and customers drifted through the loft, admiring the art displays with their coffees in hand. Despite the bustling crowds, they snagged a table in the loft-like seating area upstairs. Their meal comprised of coffee, paninis, brownies, and cheesecake. Healthy? No. Delicious? Hell yeah.
Thanks for coming with me today.
Farah sipped her drink.
Sorry if I ignored you. When I get in the zone, I tune out everything else.
It's okay. Blake wasn't used to being ignored, but it was nice being able to do his own thing without other people breathing down his neck. At TSU, he couldn't take a shit without others talking about it. That was the great thing about FEA. People left him alone. He received a lot of stares and questions the first week or two, Why did he quit football? Was he ever going to play again? Why was he in Shanghai? But soon everyone was too caught up in their own lives to pay him much mind. The questions tapered off, and Blake felt like a regular student for the first time in a long time.
Did you like the art?
Mm-hmm. Blake wolfed down half his panini to avoid answering her question.
Sorry, I don't speak caveman.
Farah's eyes sparkled with amusement. Blake swallowed his food and tried to think of something nice to say.
It was cool. The yarn garden was, interesting.
Farah burst into laughter, then Blake's skin tingled with pleasure.
You hated it. You were falling asleep in the yarn exhibit.
So she'd noticed. A grin tugged at Blake's lips.
You can't blame me. It was like being inside a giant blanket.
Another laugh. Another tingle of pleasure. Farah leaned forward.
Can I tell you a secret? I thought that was weird, too.
Blake clutched his chest.
Is it possible? Do we have something in common?
I guess we do.
Farah's eyes flickered with something he didn't dare name, and his heart slammed against his ribcage in response. The noise and the people surrounding them fell away. All Blake could focus on was the girl sitting across from him, her eyes, her scent, her lips. She smelled like orange blossoms and vanilla, and she was so damn close. If he leaned forward just a few inches, their mouths would touch. His throat dried at the thought. It was a bad idea. She was a virgin. She was in FEA. But damn it. He wanted to know what Farah tasted like, and whether her lips were as soft as they looked. The flare of awareness in her eyes told him the attraction wasn't one-sided. Her lips parted. His pulse beat double time. Should he? Then she blinked, and the moment was gone. They leaned back.
We should go.
It's getting late.
Blake and Farah laughed, their awkwardness mingling to cover up something neither wanted to acknowledge.
We should head back, Farah said. I need to work on my portfolio. I got some good ideas today.
Yeah, and I, need to go to the gym.
Blake winced the instant the words left his mouth. They did not help the meathead image most people had of him. He lived by the philosophy other people's prejudices aren't my problem, but he cared what Farah thought of him. He didn't dare ask himself why. Fortunately, Farah didn't say anything. They left the cafe and wound their way through the maze of galleries to the main street, where it took her less than 2 minutes to hail a taxi.
Sometimes I can't believe I'm here.
Farah gazed out the window as building after building whizzed by.
I've seen so many photos of Shanghai that when I look at it in person, I feel like I'm in the middle of a postcard, and I'm not actually here.
She shook her head.
Sorry, that doesn't make sense.
No, I know what you mean.
Blake stared at the skyline. The jungle of high-rise chrome and glass looked like a scene from a science fiction movie. He, Blake Ryan, was in Shanghai. He'd been so busy with classes and settling in that it didn't hit him until this moment. He'd up and left Texas to spend a year in a country where he didn't know the language, didn't know the customs, and didn't know anyone when he first arrived. Until now, he'd never been farther east than New York. Blake wasn't sure how he felt about it yet. He enjoyed the freedom of being far from home, but China took some adjusting to. He wasn't a fan of the squat toilets, the pollution, or how fucking hard Mandarin was. He had to communicate with hand gestures 90% of the time outside FEA, unless there was someone there to translate for him. Of course, there were pros to go alongside the cons. The architecture, the cheap prices, some of the street foods. Shanghai remained foreign to him, but it also made Blake feel connected to something bigger than himself and the world he'd always known. And sometimes, when he stared out the window at the towering spires of the Shanghai skyline, he thought he might love it enough to never go back.
I've never been in love.
Farah's non sequitur jolted Blake from his thoughts. She wore a far-off expression, like she was dreaming of something she knew would happen, but hasn't happened yet.
I think I could fall in love here.
Her wistful tone made his heart ache in the strangest way. Aren't you already in love? Blake's jaw tightened when he remembered the way Farah looked at Leo yesterday. He had no reason to be jealous, but the green-eyed monster reared its head at the oddest times.
Leo's a crush. I want big, crazy, stupid love. The kind that's worthy of Hollywood.
Farah sighed.
I just want to know what that feels like.
Blake eased back and sank deeper into his seat. That's the con.
Excuse me?
There is no romance like that in real life. Books and movies hype up the idea of a grand love and the one to make money. The peaceful atmosphere in the cab shattered. Farah's jaw dropped.
Wow, that is so cynical.
I'm not cynical. I'm telling the truth. Blake wasn't anti-love, but it was overrated. Look at him and Cleo, childhood friends turned lovers with plenty of bumps and obstacles along the way. Their story was made for the movies, and look how that turned out. Everyone said they were meant to be together, and he did love her, but he didn't love her the way Hollywood said he should. Hollywood romance was a load of crap. Farah crossed her arms over her chest.
I'm guessing you've never been in love.
I have. What he and Cleo had was love, right? It's not all it's cracked up to be. She turned her head and stared out the window again.
I'm sorry. That's really sad.
For once, her tone was devoid of sarcasm. Blake followed her lead and gazed out the window closest to him. The view wasn't nearly as nice on this side. It was all old apartment buildings and concrete and smog. I'll survive.
Chapter 7. Have a safe flight tomorrow, Farah's mom's voice crackled over the line. Message me when you land.
I will.
Farah stuffed another bikini into the crevice of her bulging suitcase. 6 swimsuits for 1 week should be enough, right?
Do you want anything special from Thailand?
No, I'm trying minimalism, Cheryl Lau decided. She'd kept her maiden name even after she married Farah's dad, which turned out to be a fortuitous choice, given how that relationship turned out.
I'm doing a big spring cleaning this weekend.
Mom, it's October.
You know what I mean.
Farah could practically hear her mom waving a dismissive hand in the air. Anyway, I have to go. I'm going ballroom dancing tonight at Blue Coast.
Okay, have fun. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Remember, message me. Farah hung up and tossed the phone on the bed, where it landed with a thump next to Olivia.
You and your mom are so cute.
Olivia sounded envious.
All my mom ever asked me is what my grades are and whether I've heard back from my internship yet.
Farah cocked her head. When do you hear about your internship?
4 to 6 weeks. Olivia jiggled her foot. They review applications on a rolling basis.
You'll get it. Farah squeezed in one last bikini, just to be safe, and flipped down the lid.
Help?
Olivia hopped off Farah's bed and sat on the suitcase while Farah struggled to zip it up.
It's one of the most prestigious internships in finance, Olivia said. C.B. Litman accepts 10 interns every summer. 10? Do you know how many people apply? 10,000. That's a 0.001% acceptance rate.
I doubt 10,000 people apply every year. Farah tugged on the zipper, praying it wouldn't break. Sweat broke out on her forehead. Forget the gym. Packing was a whole workout unto itself.
Fine, that may be an exaggeration, but there are at least 1,000 applicants. It's still an infinitesimal acceptance rate.
You are the smartest, most hardworking person I know. If you don't get it, the game's rigged.
Babe, this is Wall Street. Of course the game's rigged.
The zipper gave way without warning. The unexpected force knocked Farah on her ass.
Shit!
Olivia burst into laughter. She stood up and grabbed Farah's hand, hauling her off the floor.
I was waiting for that to happen.
Thanks a lot. Farah pushed her carry-on into a standing position.
Oof.
This is probably over the weight limit. Olivia nudged the case with her foot. It didn't budge. It's definitely over the weight limit. I hope the airline doesn't check. It was a risk, but Farah sure as hell wasn't going to repack. It was close to midnight, and their flight left at 8 tomorrow morning. Speaking of internships, how's your portfolio going? It's due in January, right? Olivia reclaimed her seat on Farah's bed. Farah had replaced the lumpy white comforter with a pretty pink one she found at a local market. Add pink, white, and gray velvet throw pillows, a framed sketch on the wall, and two tiny succulents on the nightstand, and the place looked a lot more inviting. Her roommate Janice kept the original bedding and didn't decorate at all. Looking at the two sides of their room was like looking at a before and after picture. Farah itched to do something about Janice's bare walls, but A, Janice was never there for her to bring it up, and B, she didn't want to overstep her boundaries. She'd have to make do with half a decorated room. Yeah, I'm making progress. Farah was close to completing her second design, a restaurant inspired by the stark contemporary lines and splashes of bright color she'd seen at M50. She'd need to tweak it, but at least she knew what she was doing. She had no idea what to do for the third design. Must be all the gallery hopping last weekend, Olivia quipped. Alone time is good for the soul. Farah coughed. Right, alone time. She hadn't told her friends about her excursion with Blake. It wasn't like they went on a date. It wasn't worth bringing up. Her discomfort didn't go unnoticed. Olivia narrowed her eyes. What are you hiding? Nothing. Farah swiped her sketchbook from her desk. Hey, want to look at my designs and tell me what you think? Yes, after you tell me what you're hiding. Oh my God, did you meet someone last weekend? Olivia clutched Farah's arm, her eyes wide with excitement. Are you having a secret affair? Don't be ridiculous. I'm with you guys all the time. The logistics wouldn't work. You weren't with us Sunday. Farah sighed. Once Olivia got an idea in her head, she was like a pit bull with a bone. Fine. If you must know, I ran into Blake on my way out, and on the spur of the moment, meaning it wasn't planned, I asked him to join me. We went to a few galleries and came back. The end. Olivia's grip tightened. You're having a secret affair with Blake Ryan. I am not. Farah wrenched her arm away and shook it out. Jesus, you cut off my circulation. Don't change the subject. You spent an entire day with Blake and didn't tell us about it. Why? Olivia wiggled her eyebrows. What naughty things did you get up to? None. You read too many erotica novels. For someone so status-driven, Olivia was surprisingly open about her less-than-highbrow reading habits. They're great inspiration. Sammy has no complaints. Farah wrinkled her nose. Ew, TMI. Way too much information. As she'd expected, Olivia caved and hooked up with Sammy at 8:08 earlier that week. They'd gone on their first date the next night and were fast becoming one of FEA's most nauseatingly cute couples. Farah was thrilled. The 100 kwai she received for winning the group's bet on when Olivia and Sammy would get together was a bonus. But their relationship also reminded her of the utter lack of romance in her own life. Once again, changing the subject. I know he's not your type, Olivia placed the word in air quotes. But maybe that's a good thing. Leo's your type, but he's taken. Are you still into him? Who, Blake? Leo. Farah pictured Leo's curly dark hair and easy smile. As usual, her stomach fluttered at the mental image, though the sensation was more muted than usual. I'm getting over it. That means you're not over it, which means you need to get over it because we have a whole school year ahead of us. You're young, hot, and single in Shanghai. You can have any guy you want, except, you know, Leo. As your friend, I'm obligated to make sure you don't spend your time here moping over unrequited love. Come on. I have other things going on in my life. Yeah, but you still think about him all the time. Tell me I'm wrong. Farah fiddled with the binder rings on her sketchbook. That's what I thought. Now, you know what they say. The best way to get over someone is to get under someone else. In this case, that someone else is a Greek god lookalike whose name rhymes with Jake Bryan. Not gonna happen. Olivia let out an exasperated huff. I don't understand why you're being so stubborn. The boy is hot. Capital H, capital O, capital T. Have you seen his abs? No. Farah raised her eyebrows. Have you? Olivia's cheeks colored. I may have snuck a tiny peek when I saw him coming out of the shower on my way to Sammy's room. Farah's eyebrows arched higher. Stop. I went to return Sammy's pen. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, Blake is the perfect person to help you get over Leo. He's cute, but he's so... Farah searched for the right word. Cocky. I bet he is. Olivia! It was Farah's turn to flush red. Olivia laughed. Look at you. You said you're not waiting for the one to lose your virginity to. It's probably better that way. Less pressure. And since we're in Shanghai, what better way to lose your virginity and get over Leo than by hooking up with a hot guy who knows what he's doing? Because trust me, Blake looks like he knows what he's doing. On paper, it made sense. Farah was physically attracted to Blake. She even enjoyed hanging out with him, most of the time. But Blake thought romance was a con, which was the most blasphemous thing Farah could think of. Then again, it didn't matter what he thought of love if it was going to be a hookup, right? Ugh, her head hurt. Olivia placed her hand on Farah's arm. Remember, we're studying abroad. What happens in Shanghai stays in Shanghai. Did it? Farah wasn't so sure. Yet later that night, after Olivia left and moonlight streamed through the curtains like a river of silver silk, Farah found herself mulling over Olivia's words. She thought about them over and over until she drifted asleep to dreams of Texas and crystal blue eyes.
Chapter 8. Blake was lonely. It was a real bitch considering he'd spent years wishing for more alone time. He'd chosen to stay behind for the national holiday while his friends lived it up in Thailand, but he was starting to regret his decision. At first, having the dorm to himself was great. Blake walked through the halls half-naked and blasted his music as loud as he liked. He didn't have to study or do homework. He did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. The high lasted 2 or 3 days before Blake started missing FEA's noise and bustle. He missed bantering with Farah. He even missed Luke's dumb texts. Sure, he enjoyed exploring Shanghai, but it would be nice to, you know, have someone join him. He couldn't even talk to his family or friends back home. Besides the Austin-Shanghai time difference, his mom and sister were busy with school as an art teacher and student, respectively. Landon was busy prepping to take over his mother's empire. He didn't want to call Cleo and open a can of worms, and he would rather poke his eyes out than speak with his dad. After his morning jog at World Expo Park, Blake went to Nanjing Road instead of returning to the dorm. He needed to be around people. He got off at the People's Square station and walked to East Nanjing. The famous pedestrian street bustled with activity. He wanted people. He got people. They streamed by in a restless, never-ending wave of humanity. Shanghai was the most populous city in the most populous country in the world, and it never let you forget it. Blake wandered aimlessly, unsure what he was searching for. He passed by couples, families, and tourists gawking at the spectacle. Huge signs and video advertisements loomed overhead, screaming for attention. A few days ago, these things made him feel alive, free. No one knew him here. He could do and be whoever he wanted. But now... Blake stopped. The man behind him cursed and walked around him, knocking into Blake's shoulder as he did so. A harried-looking young mother ran past with 3 children. Her gaze flicked over Blake before she turned her attention to the child trying to scrape a piece of old gum off the sidewalk. A group of teenagers huddled over a phone and laughed at something on screen. Blake saw them, but didn't see them. He could only focus on the image in his mind's eye of himself standing in the middle of Shanghai's busiest street surrounded by people who didn't know and didn't care who he was. One ant among thousands, a stranger in a strange land. Loneliness settled like a rock in the pit of his stomach. For the first time in his life, Blake was homesick. He resumed his walk down Nanjing Road and kept his eyes peeled for something, anything that reminded him of home. He bypassed McDonald's, he wasn't that desperate, and made a left onto an adjacent street. 10 minutes later, he stumbled onto a sports bar named The End Zone. Not the most creative name, but it sounded comfortingly American.
"Hey!"
the bartender smiled when he walked in. She resembled a young Angelina Jolie, and her name tag indicated she was called Mina. "Hey." Blake parked himself at the bar and ordered a cup of coffee and the signature breakfast plate. Eggs, bacon, home fries, toast. The place was empty this early in the morning, and there were no interesting games on TV, so Blake settled for flirting with Mina, who seemed all too happy to flirt back. In the space of 10 minutes, Blake learned she grew up in Phoenix, graduated from Arizona State with a degree in public relations, and took a gap year to travel and visit her brother in Shanghai. Blake was shocked to learn Mina's brother owned the End Zone. From what she told him, her brother was only a few years older than her, and she was 22, 23, tops.
"How'd he end up here?"
Blake broke off a piece of bacon and popped it in his mouth. It tasted like home. The bells above the door jangled as another customer walked in.
"He hated school and dropped out his junior year to backpack around Asia. He loved Shanghai so much, he moved here. Got a gig in the restaurant industry, made some good connections, and opened this place 2 years ago."
"You make it sound so easy."
The wheels in Blake's head started turning. When he chose to major in business, he'd been thinking about a corporate job in marketing or operations, not entrepreneurship. He didn't know the first thing about starting and running a business. The thought of doing his own thing was tempting, though. Blake could be his own boss. No one would tell him what to do.
"It was tough at first, but he made it work. Greg's good at this sort of thing."
Mina left to tend to the other customer, but not before giving Blake a wink that said she'd be back. Blake's heart beat fast. The wheels in his head turned faster. He liked sports bars. He knew what people who frequented sports bars liked because he'd grown up with them. He knew how to build and sell a brand. He'd been selling himself as a brand for years. It was like a dam broke. After months of not knowing what he wanted to do after graduation, the ideas flowed so fast Blake couldn't keep up. He asked for the check and scribbled his signature, eager to return to the dorm and put some of his ideas on paper. They might not lead anywhere, but it felt good to have a plan. He couldn't wait to tell. Who? His family? His father wasn't going to be happy unless Blake rejoined the football world. His mother and Joy would try their best to be supportive, but they wouldn't get it. His friends? His Shanghai friends were in Thailand, and they didn't know him well enough to understand why he was so excited. Meanwhile, his friends back home were far and few in between after he quit the team. He and Cleo didn't part on the best terms, and Landon had his hands full with his mother. When Blake led the TSU Mustangs to their third national championship, he had 50,000 people cheering him on. When it came to the personal wins, he had no one. The realization washed over him like a cold shower.
"It was nice talking to you,"
Mina whisked the signed receipt off the counter.
"I have to keep an eye on things until my brother gets in tonight, but I'll be free after 8.
She pressed another slip of paper into Blake's hand.
"We could have some fun. No strings attached."
Blake raised his eyebrows. "No strings attached, huh?"
"I'm in Shanghai for a few more weeks. And you're cute."
Mina shrugged.
"It doesn't have to be a big thing."
Blake thought about the empty dorm waiting for him on campus and slipped her number into his pocket. "I'll see you at 8.
Chapter 9. The rays warmed Farrah's skin like a luxurious blanket. The sound of water lapping against the shore providing a soothing natural soundtrack, and the coconut drink next to her was the best she'd ever tasted. Life was good. She propped herself up to take another sip of her drink. You're blocking my sun, Chris said. Sorry. Farah lay down. Despite their idyllic setting, Chris was grumpier than usual. Cheer up, Courtney stretched her arms over her head. Hours of sun had darkened her freckles until they resembled a constellation of stars across her nose and cheeks. Look at this place. How can you not be happy here? Koh Samui was a popular tourist destination, but the group was lucky enough to stumble on this remote beach on their way back to the resort. Swaying coconut palms, big boulders framing the pristine stretch of powdery white sand, crystal water that glittered like a sheet of aquamarine beneath the sun. It was a tropical postcard come to life. It's my dad's stupid girlfriend, Chris adjusted her sunglasses. She convinced him to spend Christmas in Aspen. Aspen! It'll be snowing and shit. I mean, who wants a white Christmas? The rest of the group exchanged glances.
Is that a rhetorical question? Sammy asked.
Chris ignored him. We've spent every Christmas in St. Bart's since I was 5. It's tradition. Now this girl waltzes in and tries to change everything, she sighed. On the bright side, Daddy feels bad, so he's buying me Harry Winston for Christmas. He usually gets me Tiffany.
There's a diamond lining in every cloud, Leo deadpanned, earning himself a jab in the ribs from Courtney.
His sarcasm went over Chris's head. True. Farah stifled a laugh. Meanwhile, Olivia was trying to engage Nardo in a conversation, a clear sign of how much she liked Sammy. She thought Nardo was a pompous, mansplaining jerk, but he was Sammy's best friend, for reasons no one could fathom. Sammy was the most likable guy on the planet. Nardo was not. What you reading? Olivia flipped onto her stomach to peer at the thick tome in Nardo's hands.
A book.
No shit, Sherlock. What book? Nardo pushed his glasses up on his nose. He was the palest in the group and slathered on half a bottle of sunscreen before they hit the beach. Even so, Farah could see the skin on his back turning pink.
War and Peace and War.
You mean War and Peace?
No. That's a 19th century novel by Leo Tolstoy about the French invasion of Russia. This is War and Peace and War by Peter Turchin. It explores the rise and fall of empires from the perspective of evolutionary biology.
Olivia's eyes glazed over. Wow, fun beach read. Do you know you talk like a human Wikipedia? Farah asked.
Nardo looked touched. Thank you.
Sammy rolled over onto his side and kissed Olivia's shoulder.
He's always been this way. You should see our dorm at Harvey Mudd. It's packed with political history books.
Olivia wrinkled her nose. Aren't you guys math majors?
I'm economics. Nardo returned to his books. You can read outside your major.
I know. I just finished Crazy Rich Asians. Farah's face split into a huge grin at the look on Nardo's face. Excuse me, I thought we were on vacation. Courtney snatched the book from Nardo's hands, ignoring his cry of protest. Let's do something fun.
We are doing something fun, Sammy said. We're at the beach.
No, something fun. I know, Courtney snapped her fingers. Let's go skinny dipping. Farah's eyes widened in horror. I love you, but that's the worst idea I've ever heard. Olivia's expression matched Farah's. It's broad daylight. So, we're among friends. Live and let live, Liv. No thanks. Luke raised his hand.
I'll do it.
Me too, Nardo said.
Every head whipped in his direction.
You will?
Sammy asked, mouth agape. Nardo's cheeks matched his back.
Like Courtney said, we're on vacation.
Great, Chris said. See what you did, Court? Now we'll have to see Luke and Nardo naked. The boys looked at each other. Without saying a word, they gathered handfuls of sand and tossed them at Chris before she could duck out of the way. Her mouth froze in a shocked O as the grains peppered her hair and cleavage. Everyone burst into laughter.
Blah! Chris sputtered. I have sand in my mouth. I'm going to kill you guys. She tried to wipe the sand from her face and smeared it further across her cheeks. They laughed harder. A skinny dip will get the sand off. Come on, guys. Don't be boring. Courtney wheedled.
Chill, Leo said. The full moon party is tonight. We'll have fun then.
I am chill. Excuse me for trying to make sure everyone enjoys themselves.
We are enjoying ourselves, Leo argued. People know how to have fun without you. We don't have to do everything you say all the time.
The laughter stopped. Farrah's heart pounded like a carpenter hammering a nail into the wall. Courtney and Leo didn't fight. Ever. He was too easygoing. And she was, well, she was Courtney.
What did you say?
Courtney's face turned red. He pinched his temple.
Let's not do this now.
Oh, we're doing this now. You started it. Finish it. The challenge was clear.
I'm just